This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
Welcome to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us as Deb talks with her guests, experts in their fields, as they share real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And today we have a guest from the wonderful province of British Columbia. I love it when I get to talk to foreign guests. It's so much fun. It means that we've got to reach outside of our little area. We actually do have listeners and guests from around the world, but we have so much fun. I really enjoy it when I get to talk with guests that are outside the United States. But please join me today in welcoming Jennifer Kramer Lewis to our program. Welcome, Jennifer.
You're welcome. Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me.
We really are going to have so much fun today. And before we start, let me tell people just a little bit about you. So Jennifer Kramer Lewis loves showing people simple changes they can make to drastically improve their financial welfare. She's worked in business and finance for over 20 years, including banking, real estate sales, mortgage brokerage, and real estate management. Jennifer has always found it easy and natural to implement processes which make things flow more simply and productively. That's one of those words. These skills, combined with her love of people, meant that financial coaching was a natural progression from working within other people's businesses. She has written 3 best-selling books and is a mom to 2 fantastic teens who are learning early to master the language of prosperity. So again, Jennifer, welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be a part of the program, Deb.
Great. And I'll admit, talking about money is one of those things that we're like, right? Yeah, those words. And I'm sure you see it, people's eyes cross, all those various things. But obviously, we can't be in business if we're not making money.
That's a really great point. Like, right. A lot of people, especially in the coaching and training field, they're just so good at what they do that it comes so naturally that they have difficulty charging for
it. Right. Well, it's funny. I actually had somebody one time, I do public speaking about social media and several other topics. And I was asked to speak one time to this group. And so, the next thing that when you're starting down this path is to tell them your fee. And, I thought my fee was really pretty reasonable. And I actually have, it is probably one of those things, I'm sure people would say, no, you need to raise your price. But I thought it was reasonable at that point in time. And I told the person, okay, now my fee is this amount. And I got dead silence on the other end of the phone. And I said, hello.
Anybody home?
Yes, yes. Tap, 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 tap. And she said, you charge? And I said, well, yes, I'm a professional speaker. This is what I do for a living, thinking that might goad her into, figuring that out. And she said, well, but you clearly love what you do. I said, yes, I do. And she said, so why do you charge? I said, because I love living in my house and those people require mortgage payments.
Yeah, because they shut off the electric bill when I forget to pay it.
I know, and it's so funny because we do sometimes get caught up in that as the entrepreneur, as the business owner, where we ourselves love it so much that sometimes we tend to give it away for free. Or people do expect that because we enjoy it so much that we'll just gift them with our knowledge. And it's like, no, not so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and how many endless coffee meetings? How many, can I just pick your brain?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And some of that is the discussions that we have. I have with my clients and with my businesses that I work with is, how to elegantly convey that you're a professional, how mm-hmm. to elegantly convey your fees.
Right.
And also how to elegantly just like let it wash over you when mm-hmm. people are surprised that you actually would like to get paid for what it is that you mm-hmm. do so well. And, you know, I mean, luckily, Deb, you had enough years in the chair that you just thought it was funny, or I hope you thought it was funny.
I did. And, you know, and the funny thing is they didn't pay me. They were like, no. And I went, oh, well, sorry.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, good luck out there. I hope you can find somebody willing to give you this information for free. Bye.
And of course there are, you know, and some of them do a fabulous job and some of them you're getting what you pay for.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting, like in my business, I do a lot of stuff for free. Like every Monday that I'm not traveling for business, I have an hour where everybody can jump on and they can ask some questions and get some facilitation. Mm-hmm. And that's turned over into like a web TV show.
Cool.
And so I make it so their faces don't show and everybody knows that they're going to get on a web TV show. So if they don't want to ask any questions, if they're too shy, they're not going to show up. But, you know, that's my free offering. And so people will continue to choose my free offering if they want. Mm-hmm. I'm also building out a podcast, the same as you have, a nice podcast for people to choose and get information from you reasonably priced or for free.
Right.
And so as business owners, we can have free offerings, but the idea is that we're business owners. We're in business. Mm-hmm. And so I can't actually say to somebody, well, I can help you, you know, increase your bottom line, you know, be more productive in business, make more money and be more happy. If I'm not willing to charge for my services, there's a disconnect there. Yeah. So people can't choose it. And so thinking about all the business owners that you'd love to work with, everybody who's listening, if you're not charging for your services, it kind of makes it difficult to for people to work with you who like to charge for their services.
Right. Well, and there is this thought process that if it's free or cheap, I'm going to use that word on purpose as opposed to inexpensive. If it's free or if it's cheap, it has less value. You know, look at things like a conference. If it's free to attend, then that day people are like, eh, you know, don't have to go. I've got other things to do. But even if they paid a minimal amount, they're like, well, I paid, I better go. You know, and same with, you know, what you do, coaching. If you didn't charge for it, then people aren't always going to do their homework, you know, or they'll just completely blow you off and not even do anything they're supposed to be doing. So we have to charge in order to show people that there is value with what we're doing.
Yeah, it's the investment in the process. And so I've even noticed over the years, as my prices have gone up for my offerings, the quality of clients that have shown up for me, even in the last 24 months, my clients are amazing. I'm so proud of what they've been able to accomplish.
Well, and I love what you just said, that when your pricing changes, your clients change. And you know, it's and that's why it's still great to have, you know, inexpensive or free offerings for people who might not be able to afford it or just wanting to dabble. But when we raise our prices, we do kind of increase that level of who's going to work with us. You know, and clearly that's a choice you need to make. You know, if you're providing something that you want to be accessible by a whole bunch of people, that's going to have a different price point than if you really want to serve an elite customer base.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also talk to my clients about their clients and I'm like, who do you actually love to work with? And, you know, one of the things that you can do to differentiate, like you were just saying, Deb, is, you know, ask for a higher price point. And it brings people who are more committed to change in their life and in their business.
Right. You know, and you can always negotiate. Now, you know, that ends up being the tricky part because everybody wants to negotiate. I mean, you know, they're going to say, well, I've got $500 and you just told me $1,000. And so then as the provider, it's up to us to determine what we want to do, you know, and I always tell people, remember when you negotiate a lower price, those people are going to tell their friends and they'll expect that lower price too. So, you know, it can be one of those bugaboos that comes back and bites you.
Totally. Totally. And you know, like in your heart, you can actually check and see if the price that someone's suggesting that you offer, you know, if it twists your heart or it twists your guts, just say no. Like literally say no. Even if it's somebody that you're dying to work with, It can be that you bring on these clients at a lower price point because you know, like, and trust them, or, you know, they're sort of a dream client for you, and then they turn into a nightmare and you're like, wow, you know, I've worked with this person, you know, for 2 months out of a 6 month contract, and I actually want to either shoot them or myself meeting.
And a lot of times that is what happens when we negotiate our prices is, you know, there's some dynamic that shifts, you know, and it's funny when that happens, because it happens the other way around too. You know, if we negotiate a lower price with somebody we're dealing with, it tends to change that also. And it's not that we think, well, we can push them around, or, well, you know, maybe sometimes it is, but it does change that dynamic a little bit. You know, but again, we always want to negotiate. I mean, I don't care what it is. We negotiate on house prices, car prices, you know, but we also know there are fixed prices. You know, I'm not going to go into the grocery store and say, I'm only going to pay you $1.50 for this box of cereal, and they'll look at me and put it back on the shelf.
Like, so, okay, I have other people willing to pay $4.
Yeah, go away. And go away, or there's the generic aisle, or whatever. But, you know, and so I find it funny that sometimes people who think they, you know, well, I want to negotiate my price with you, I do tell them, you know, would you negotiate at the grocery store? You know, now you might negotiate to buy a new car, but they still might say, this is, at some point they're going to say, this is the bottom line, take it or leave it.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Like, I notice with my clients, the ones who are sort of not skilled with negotiation, or they're afraid of negotiation, or like something's happening with negotiation that they don't actually feel plugged into what they can ask or charge. Those are the ones who seem to have way more people gunning for them to change their prices.
Right. And it's kind of like they give off that little vibe of, you know, my price isn't fixed.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like, please don't ask me. Please don't ask me.
Right.
Which is showing up as, you better ask me about my price.
It's so funny. I was speaking with one of my other guests about pricing, and she was telling me that she worked with someone who literally quadrupled his price. I mean, like a big jump, you know, and was telling her, well, you know, he was now going to charge this. And she was like, okay. And she said, well, why? And his response was, I don't like the sales process, so if I get fewer people at the higher price, I have to pitch it fewer times. It was like, no, that's not the way this works.
No, you still want probably, you know, maybe even a half a dozen client meetings a week. You know, if you're quadrupling your prices and you're putting it out there, it becomes a big barrier energetically to receiving more clients. And so, you know, I can see that as well. I see people who, you know, I say, oh, well, what would you like to create in your business? And they, you know, cough up this like pie in the sky number. And I'm like, well, wow, when was the last time that you earned that in your business?
Right.
And they're like, well, never.
Like,
okay, cool. So energetically, are you congruent with earning, you know, $500,000 when you've never brought in any more than 50,000? You know, so there are jumps.
Right. And we do need to, on occasion, adjust our pricing and things like that. But I love that you talk about the energy, because, you know, it's one thing to have our pricing on a website. You know, for this, we charge this, for this, we charge this, you know, whatever it is. But then when people are talking to us, it is that energy that we give off. So how do you work with clients when they're kind of stuck on, you know, maybe a pricing issue?
Yeah, well, we go about it in a whole bunch of different ways. I love to actually sit with my clients and build out an avatar of a client that they could work with every day, all day for free. And that it, you know, puts energy into their body. It makes them so excited when the client's going to, you know, like I work with a lot of my clients online. And so, you know, my clients have online clients as well. So it's like when you have clients that just sort of fill you up energetically, that they're actually listening to, you know, some of the stuff that you're suggesting to them, you know, when they don't get it, they ask questions, you know, like a whole bunch of different things. So I love them to build out an avatar of people that they would love to work with every day, all day. And then also, you know, like ask your business. You know, it was funny. I was talking to somebody yesterday and saying, you know, I mean, it's not really well advertised, but everybody knows really that I'm quite a high level intuitive. And so I get information from all sorts of different sources. And it doesn't come always during your client session. Right. Sometimes I'm laying in my bed at night thinking about you at 3 o'clock in the morning and what you can do in your business. And so there's a whole bunch of different stuff that's built into the model of pricing. So it's, what have you done already? What are you already an expert in? You know, how much prep hours do you have in between clients that allows you to be an expert in your field with the client when they show up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on your meeting? And, you know, what is it that you're able to get done for them that they're not actually able to get done without your facilitation and assistance? You know, and how many people are, like, you know, tooting your horn for you and excited about doing business with you? And you can actually energetically test the prices even. It's like, wow, you know, is this a client? Is this a full pop client, or am I willing to do this client for less than full pop because they're so fun? And, you know, sometimes you'll get, well, no, this client is actually more than what you usually charge because they're a giant pain.
I charge what I call PITA, pain in the tax.
Totally. How much of a pain?
You obviously can't put that on their statement, but, and there are people, and we, you know, we laugh about this. There are people who you do have to spend a little bit more time with. You know, maybe they don't understand. Maybe they are just being a pain, you know, and these things. And so that's where, like, being able to be a little flexible with my pricing to say, okay, you know, and you do, you get that vibe from them right away. I mean, you know, you know, if they negotiated and negotiated or didn't give you information, all these various things, you kind of know, okay, this one could be a little bit more complicated. So I'm going to just increase my price to deal with that, knowing that it's going to take more of my time to do it.
Yeah, well, and then have a look at what services that they that they're looking to use. Like, a coach friend of mine uses Voxer for her business, and so she hired on, or a client hired her to work with her, I think, over a 3 month period, and the client was just insane about how much Voxer that they were using. Like, they were sending her Voxer, like, giant long, like, 20-minute Voxer messages.
Holy moly.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Voxer is like a walkie-talkie program that some people use in their business. And so this woman was, like, leaving these giant, long, you know, Voxer messages. And so it actually burnt out my friend, who's another coach. And she's like, wow, I don't know if I will ever let anybody have Voxer again, because this woman abused her Voxer access so badly.
I had the same thing happen years ago when we communicated with fax machines. We had this client who, oh, he was one of those CEO wunderkinds, and probably at least 20 years younger than any of the, I was in an agency, and, you know, he was a lot younger than anybody in the agency, and figured he knew it all. And I would come in the office and the fax machine would have run out of paper. Because he would just, he'd send like 50, 60 page faxes, because his big thing was he would go and find something on the internet and print that and then fax it, you know? So it was like, I like this, I like that. Don't do this. Don't. And he, you know, and he was one of these that, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning was up doing this, and I would come in and find these faxes, and I was like, ah, you know? And so he really got charged a lot of tax, but, you know, it does, you know, I think as business owners, we have to be flexible to some degree with our pricing. Now, obviously, it depends on what we're doing. You know, there are some things that have total fixed price. They know what that is. We're not going to negotiate. We're not going to do anything. But, you know, there are things where, you know, I think we do need to remember, depending on what it is, we need to be flexible with it and charge more or less. I mean, you know, there are times where the client is a dream client. And, you know, what you thought was going to be a 2 hour project was 15 minutes. And so you can maybe give them a little something extra, you know, all these various things.
Yeah. Well, I have a look at that too. And I look at my clients and the ones who are, like, so dreamy to work with. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, I had a client that I was working with, to build up her business, but she was also going through, separation and divorce. Mm. And so we were spending a lot of time talking about that and business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at Christmas time, I was just like, you know what? I'm sure you're not going to get great Christmas presents because, you know, you've left your husband, you're right. in sort of a turmoil. And I'm just going to, like, I actually, I knew a lady who owned a store in her town. And so mm-hmm. we just put together the most beautiful Christmas package Aww. For her. Lured her into the store to open her presents. And I just think, you know, like, if you can be super generous in a way that works for you, in mm-hmm. a way that works for the clients, they actually appreciate that more in some cases right. than a price break.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So and even having a look at that, like, what do my clients appreciate more than a price break?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, would they love baseball tickets or like you said, the gift? You know, when I worked for an agency in Colorado, we made beer 1 year. It was a very entertaining process to make beer. And then we shipped it to our clients and discovered that, you know, there are some states that don't take alcohol. You can't ship alcohol because we got stuff back. But the ones that got the beer thought it was the greatest thing in the world. You know, and it was a team building thing for us to go and do it. And, you know, and I don't even know if that business still exists. I mean, this was long enough ago that I'm guessing it probably doesn't, but you know, it was a great project and people, they really did. They absolutely loved it. If we had said, hey, we're going to knock part of your bill off, they would have gone, whatever. But you know, for years we heard about, oh my gosh, you made us beer.
Yeah, when are you guys going to make beer again?
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. And the cool thing was we personalized the labels. I mean, you know, and when you go in their offices, they would have the empty beer bottles. I mean, they kept it. And so it was a very cool thing. And I think that's something as business owners, as you said, we need to think about what are those little extras that we can do for somebody, you know, that might not, you know, depends, you know, some of them might be inexpensive, some of them might not be, but what can we do to truly show that we value our customers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're going to know that as a business owner, what mm-hmm. things, you know, once you've worked with somebody for a month or two, what things really, really do make them excited mm-hmm. and engaged. And, you know, another thing that I do with my clients is, you know, because I spend a lot of time thinking about them, mm-hmm. you know, they pop up in my awareness a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll get a sense, okay, well, that last session, we did talk a lot about this. You know, mm-hmm. so what resources do I have? You know, what old courses did I do that I can just fire off to this mm-hmm. client as a, you know, a plus one? Right. And, mm-hmm. you know, actually I did that a couple of days ago and I got some reviews back from my client on a course that was just an old course. Mm-hmm. And she like, this was amazing. This changed my life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, think about the resources that you already have, you mm-hmm. know, some old courses that you put out that have valuable information in it, an old talk that you've done that had valuable information in mm-hmm. it. And you can actually build it into your standard operating procedures for your business that, you know, like, you know, check around, mm-hmm. You know, and have it available for your client to access the stuff mm-hmm. that you've already done and produced. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Well, one of the things that I always love chatting with my guests about is finding out how they got to where they are now. You know, clearly this is a passion for you. And, you know, but tell us how you decided that this was what you wanted to do when you grew up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that I decided that this was what I wanted to do when I grew up.
And first of all, we don't want to be grown up. So, you know, that's,
oh, yeah, no,
that's kind of a given.
So overridden.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny. What's interesting, I've always been that type of person that, you know, people, you know, would grab me and say, I need to talk to you about something. Mm-hmm. Like ever since, I mean, I remember kids talking to me in like kindergarten. And so I have that face that people mm-hmm. want to tell me their whole life story.
Right.
And so when I graduated from college, I went into real estate sales. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for a couple of years and then the market bottomed out and I went and worked for a mortgage broker. Mm-hmm. And the mortgage broker that I worked for was amazing. I loved working for her. And so I was able to set up a bunch of different SOPs for her and her mm-hmm. business to help her be more profitable and, you know, really create a work-life balance because she was a little workaholic and she probably still is to this day. Uh-huh. And then I went back into banking at that point. I had been in banking when I went to university. I just worked in a bank and then into real estate sales. And then I went back into banking briefly before I had my kids. And then when I got out of banking, or when I got, you know, like when I went back to work after my kids, I ended up actually working with the mortgage broker that I used to work for. We did a job share. And so we worked together. And then when I moved, I ended up moving. I was doing still mortgage brokerage at that time. And then in 2008, when the financial markets blew up, I went into real estate management and sales. And so during that whole time, I would have people come into my office and, you know, slam the door behind them and say, "Can I just talk to you for 5 minutes?" So, yeah, and that's pretty cool. And then I worked for a quite a nice mom and pop firm in property management. And then I got lured away by a different firm. And oh my God, the clients that they had at that firm were just awful. And
oh,
so,
no.
Yeah, I had so many buildings that were falling apart that had projects on them. And the type of people that were calling me every day were just really awful people and yelling at me, and I couldn't sleep. And so I started looking into different things that I could do to manage my stress. And one of them was this energetic thing, sort of like Reiki, called the Access Consciousness Bars. And so I went for a session, and it just really sort of like cooled off the flames in my brain.
Oh, okay.
And it felt amazing. And so I started to use this for stress. And then they have other courses that you can take. And so I started taking some other courses and then using these tools in my life. And then I got to a point where I was just so busy at work, I wasn't actually able to really use the tools. And I got to a space and place in my life where I actually didn't want to be on the planet anymore. Really, really depressed. And to the point I went to my doctor and I'm like, "Look, these are the things that I'm doing every day. This is how I'm feeling." And she's like, "You know what? You need to take this paper into work and you need to take some time off of work." And she's like, "When are you going to do that?" And I was like, "Oh, well, maybe I'll just do this, 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 and this." And then she said to me like, "No, seriously, take this in, give it to your boss, pack up whatever's in your desk that's yours and walk out of work." And, you know, and heal yourself. And I needed to actually have that. You know, I can see now after being in the industry, I needed to actually have that so that I could say to clients, like, "Look, you don't actually have to have your job this way. You can change it."
Right.
And so I started actually working part-time doing this type of work. And then it just exploded.
Cool.
People were like, "I want to work with you." And, you know, the way that you're doing coaching and training is just so light and bright and fun. I love our sessions together. I'm able to be more productive. I'm making way more money than I ever thought possible. And, you know, so the word just got out. And it was interesting, like the, I'm an Access Consciousness certified facilitator. And the first facilitator that I heard of from Access Consciousness was on a radio show like this. And she was just so light and bright and fun that I was like, "Wow."
I want to do that.
Yeah, a lot of this transformational work is just, you know, really sort of heavy and based in, you know, here's the things that are wrong with you that we need to change. And, you know, what if there's so much right with you that if we just, you know, shine a little grow light on what's right with you, what you already know, and make that so much bigger that the things that are bothering you right now just go away.
Right. Well, and I love how you use that then for dealing with money, you know, because that's one of the things that it's almost like a yin and a yang. You know, money is this hardcore thing. And but we have so many preconceived notions. I mean, you know, we've already been talking about some of those and all of these various things. And so I love that you combine the two to really get people going in the right direction from a financial perspective.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, how many places and spaces in our lives have we been disempowered and also financially abused?
Right.
You know, and financial abuse can be, you know, something as simple as you going to your mom and saying, oh, I've done all my chores. Can I have my allowance now? And your mom being like, I don't have any money. Stop right. that. Leave mm-hmm. me alone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so probably a lot of us had that sort of financial abuse upbringing. And so mm-hmm. it's difficult for us to ask for the order mm-hmm. without those sort of pains showing up subconsciously. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I mean, financial abuse can happen in relationships, you know, right. like together with a partner that spends all your money mm-hmm. or, you know, get together with a partner that like abuses you when you want to go and, you know, like have mm-hmm. a Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many places and spaces where finance has been something that we either fight over, that we've been abused with, that we've been abused for. Mm-hmm. And then we get in a space and place where there's like trauma in our body, there's trauma in right. our, and it shows up in our bank account. Like mm-hmm. we're afraid to have money because it means that, you know, somebody's going to come and get it from us mm-hmm. or, you know, somebody's going to want us to do something that we're not willing to do for the money mm-hmm. or, you know, it's just a place and space where we feel like we don't have the expertise to manage it. And so mm-hmm. we get rid of it as much as possible. And so those are some of the things that I help people clear. I do have a gift for your audience.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, they can hop on over to bit.ly/unlockingyou. Mm-hmm. And there's a 90-minute class there, video and audio, talking about all the different places and spaces where you can start to unlock you from financial abuse that you've received. Perfect. And I mean, financial abuse sounds so heavy, but when you think about it, like every place where you feel like you don't have money or you don't have the expertise to deal with money or you can't talk to clients about how much you'd like to get paid for your services, you just have that little, you know, twist in your belly or twist in your mm-hmm. heart about money. Wouldn't it be cool if you didn't have that? What if right. money was just
fun? Oh, I get to do invoicing today.
Yeah, like great. Or you have SOP that your invoices go and fly out into cyberspace and collect the money and come home.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. No, and I love, because I am one of those people, you know, I joked about it. I'm like, ugh, money, you know, and I don't like invoicing. Actually, I don't mind invoicing. Invoicing is the easy part, but it's the, you still owe me conversation. Mm-hmm. I hate having those with clients, you know, and of course they know that. And so, you know, they can put me off, they can do whatever. Or, you know, we mentioned it, you know, we don't ask for enough, you know, we're scared to raise our prices or, you know, whatever it is, or even as we said, ask for money to even to start with. And it's so funny because we all know, like we've been saying, we have to have money to be in business. I mean, you know, and I tell people, even if you're a nonprofit organization, you still have to have money. I mean, you know,
oh my gosh, I can't tell you how many not-for-profits that I've worked for that are like nickeling, diming right. something for $12. I'm mm-hmm. like, why don't we just get a sponsor for all right. of this? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they're like, what do you mean a sponsor? Right. I'm like, a sponsor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, this print house is going to pay for this brochure or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, and then we don't have those conversations, which obviously then means we probably don't have them at home with our spouse, with our partner, with our kids. You know, I love the fact that your teens are learning about this. You know, it's really funny. One of the things I have seen kind of trending here in the States is that there's a whole group of, I guess it would be the millennials, that don't have checking accounts. And they either pay with cash or they have credit cards. I mean, you know, they have things like that, but they don't have a physical checking account. You know, we loaned money to a family member, a young family member, and this young girl never, ever, ever, ever missed a payment. You know, one time when she was going to be like a day late, she called. I mean, you know, it was one of those fantastic situations that don't happen all that much. But she would send a money order. She didn't have a checking account. And, you know, so every month she went, I guess these were the ones that she got at the post office, but she would go and she would get that. And I do remember asking her, how do you pay your other bills? Well, she had credit cards and it was just all very confusing. But you know, if when people now are looking at their money and looking at their funds, I think even business owners, you know, if you were to sit somebody down and say, tell me what you need every single day, you know, what are the costs and all of those things, you know, and what can you eliminate? I had a guest on one time that said, you know, look at the things that you signed up for that you pay once a month. And, you know, things that you went, oh, well, this was fun. And, you know, you subscribed to. Don't even look at them anymore. You know, and like one of the things, and it's usually not a lot of money because then, like we said at the start, it doesn't have a lot of value. So you don't pay that much attention to it. And he said, you know, take a look at those things. So I did. I was going through my accounting and I went, oh, you know, I have an 800 number that I pay like $15 a month for. And when I was looking through it, for a year, an entire year, that was used like three times.
Nobody called you on your 800 number.
No, yeah, because we don't care about those anymore. You know, we had 800 numbers when people were very cost conscious. Now with cell phones and various plans, it doesn't cost you to call. Now it might, out, you know, if you're calling internationally, but, you know, and I thought, okay, so that was $15 times 12. Oops, I can't do that math. You know, I should have said $10. I could have done that math easy. But, you know, just eliminating that was, you know, a little bit of money coming back in. You know, there's another thing that I pay $50 a month for. And it's like, oh, but I like that person. And I don't want to tell them I don't want their services anymore. But I, you know, and so we have these horrible money conversations with ourselves that I love the fact that you help people get out of those stupid conversations.
Well, and it's what can you set up in the front end to stop those conversations from even happening?
Like, right.
I don't enjoy those conversations. The majority of my clients tend to be women entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And so I had this client that I absolutely adored. And so I cut down my prices because I wanted to work with her. So mm-hmm. that was one. I let her pay monthly, which I don't enjoy. Mm-hmm. So that was two. And then she was actually contemplating a separation and divorce. Mm-hmm. And what happened was her husband took his car and he traded it in on this like unbelievably expensive truck. And guess where the money came from?
Oh no, she paid for his truck.
Well, it came from the household account, which included our coaching.
Uh-oh.
And mm-hmm. so the first thing that went out the window was our coaching.
Oh no.
And so I thought to myself, well, that was really heartbreaking for me. Mm-hmm. I was in love with that client. So, Right. You know, how do I create a circumstance where, you know, I'm emotionally invested in these people. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about them all the time. Right. I'm, you know, thinking, okay, well, what can we do this month to, you know, make you more profitable, to have you, you know, feeling great in your body and, mm-hmm. you know, having amazing relationships with people and really enjoying yourself. And then, you know, to have your husband, you know, rip that right out from under you and mm-hmm. for you to have actually no question in your universe that that's where the money was coming from. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I actually offer my clients a pretty hefty discount if they prepay.
Right.
And I would say 90% of them decide that that's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so I say, okay, well, if you pay for all of your sessions up front in the first 30 days, I'm willing to offer you this amount of money off of your full invoice for the mm-hmm. for the contract or the mm-hmm. 6 months that we're together, a year that we're together. And mm-hmm. most people are like, well, that makes sense to me. Take my credit card.
Mm-hmm. Well, and because you make it easy, then they're willing to do it. You know, and think about how many things we do, you know, our listeners do where we could be doing that, you know, rather than charging somebody monthly and you can automate the invoices and payments and all of those various things. So, you know, there's kind of that, but think about, you know, if you could get somebody to pay for 6 months, for a year all at once, would it be worth it? You know, and what discount would you be willing to provide to get that? Because of course, here's the thing. You get all the money then. You're not worrying about, oh, are they going to pay in November or, you know, all those various things. You have it. So, you know, clearly you have to pay attention to your pricing. I mean, you know, you can't discount it so much that you're losing money, but I love that concept of, you know, if you pay all in advance or, you know, for a year at a time, whatever it is, here's the discount I will give you.
Yeah. Well, and then they're all in too.
Right.
They're invested in the process. Mm-hmm. And so a client that's invested in the process is always a joy to work with for mm-hmm. me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as we're talking through all of this stuff, there are certain words that we say you know, that are in our vocabulary that, you know, we probably should be eliminating? What are some of those words?
This is one of my favorite conversations. Yeah. Oh my God. Stop saying you need something.
Ah.
You know, there are things that you require.
Right.
And there are things that you desire. Mm-hmm. But to say that you need something actually implies that it's lacking in your universe.
Okay.
And so if you don't have any lack in your universe, then what can happen?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wow, I either require this or I desire this, mm-hmm. or I'm actually not going to choose it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people say, oh, well, I need a boyfriend, or, you know, I need a new client. And they're actually not choosing it. They're okay. just staying in that state of need or lack.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next word I love people to eliminate is the word try.
Mm-hmm.
You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. And so try is the pretense that you're actually choosing it.
I had a guest on one time that actually fined himself every time he used the word try. And it was a big chunk. I mean, it was, you know, several digits, and he said his employees, you know, would listen for it and all these things. But yeah. And same thing, when you say try, it's wishy-washy.
Yeah. And your brain, like, think about, you know, like your energetic field mm-hmm. is listening. The universe is listening, or God, or whoever you think is listening. I say the universe, cause that's probably includes God and everything else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so what we say, like our words have frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking to ourselves, we're creating little contracts with ourselves. And so, and we're also asking the universe to bring us, you know, clients, we're asking the universe to bring us money, joy, you know, amazing friendships and relationships. And so when we use the word try, like, oh, next month I'm going to try to bring on 5 new clients. Well,
it's wishy-washy.
It is. It's mm-hmm. like, well, what are you pretending that you're going to do? Mm-hmm. And what are you pretending that right. you're not going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just be aware, you know, like, where did the last 5 clients come from? Oh, they all came from referrals. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, it's time to get out and shake the referral tree. It's not trying, it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can't just think of, I will try to get 5 new clients. I will get 5 new clients.
Yeah.
It, just think of it that's, it's that simple.
Yeah. Well, and even better than that is a question like, you know, who do I already know what that would love to refer me?
Right.
You know, and then you're like, oh, wow, I can think of like 10 people right now that I can call mm-hmm. that would love to refer clients to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then the actions, right? You're like, oh, well, I'll try to get a hold of that person.
Right.
No, so
you might not.
Or you won't call them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a big maybe in there, or a big might. I might get in touch with them. Maybe I'll reach out to them.
Yeah. And then another word that I love for people to remove from their vocabulary is the word never. Because when we say we're never going to do something, we eliminate all of the possibilities that that thing that we say we're never going to do could actually pay off for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I see people are, oh, I'll never work with big business, or, you know, I'll never work with this type of client, or, you know, I'll never do that thing. Well, I'll tell you what, my life has been a lesson in never saying never to mm-hmm. anything. So if you're not choosing something right now, you can say, not right now.
Right.
And, you know, that has a different, lighter frequency mm-hmm. than saying that you will never do something.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, or, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, I don't know how to do that, so I'm not going to do it. Well, how many times have you done stuff that you didn't know how to do?
Right.
And it turned out way better than you ever thought mm-hmm. possible.
Right.
And you learn something in the process. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah. So stopping yourself from saying those words like never, try. Oh, and I haven't said can't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But basically like, oh, I can't do social media, or, mm-hmm. you know, I can't raise my prices.
Mm-hmm.
Can't is the pretense that you would choose it, but you don't know how. And so can't is like, you're either going to choose it or you're not going to choose it.
Right.
You know, and there's,
and if you're not going to do it, then just don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to apologize for people for your choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're either going to choose it or you're not going to choose it.
Right. Yeah. Well, now, one of the things that business owners are always faced with, you know, very rarely do they say, I have the exact number of clients or customers that I need right now. So, you know, we usually always need somebody, you know, need more. Oops, I shouldn't say need.
Yeah, we would love more.
Yes, we love more. And you know, and it's funny, the need thing also comes across as desperation. And
it can.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, we want more clients. We're going to get more clients. But, you know, like I said, rarely is it that you have enough. And even if you have enough, you should, something will happen and that will change, you know. And so what do you do when we don't have enough clients or money coming into our lives?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's funny, it's very counterintuitive. I say to my clients, when you actually are in that space of like complete lack, you know, you're like freaking out about how to pay this bill or freaking out about, you know, like one of your like high-end clients is going off of contract and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to replace that client with another high-end client that's going back on contract, especially if you're allowing them to pay you monthly. You know, you're used to having this certain amount of money coming in from this client. And so you got to pay the electrical bill. What I actually do recommend that they do is take a couch day, like just take a whole day off and be in gratitude for what you've already created. You know, experience some beauty. Like your couch day doesn't actually have to be on the couch.
Right. Maybe you go to the zoo or, you know.
Yeah, go to the zoo, go to the beach, go to the lake, go look at an art gallery. You know, think about the things that your body actually likes to do and experience. Because the reason why we're bringing in money is not so that we can, you know, line our coffin with it. It's so that we can actually enjoy our lives. And so by going out and enjoying your life, enjoying where you live, enjoying, you know, all of the circumstances that you've created for yourself, that gratitude becomes a lubricant for you to be able to create anything in your life. Like all of the frustration can be deleted with gratitude. And so if you get out of your business, like shut your laptop, shut your office door, you know, maybe even lock your office door for the day. And, you know, energetically unplug, maybe take a little notebook with you and, you know, go sit someplace beautiful, have a glass of wine. I live around a bunch of wineries. And so there's an amazing winery here that's been here for about 40 years. And it's so gorgeous. And I just go sit on their patio and have a beautiful glass of wine and like journal about, you know, all of my hopes and dreams for myself. Like, you know, if I could have an unlimited menu of things that I would love to have and choose in my life, places where I would like to go, things that I would like to experience, and just invite the energies of that in and then have a look at the clients that I've had and how grateful I am for them and what I learned from them and what I was able to produce for them. With, I mean, obviously they're hustling too. And you know, just be in like complete bliss. Try to go back into your business and think about being in lack after you've given yourself a whole day of being excited about your life. It just can't happen. And, you know, quite often what happens is once I've given myself a full day of that, you know, I'll check my emails and the next day there'll be like a bunch of people going, hey, what are you doing? Do you want to create something with me? Or, you know, hey, I got this thing coming up in my business. I think I need a few sessions with you. Can we jump on and ask some questions about my business? You know, it's just like once you unplug that lack plug, like imagine, you know, one of those three-prong old plugs that go in the wall. If you unplug the lack plug and you plug in a gratitude plug, oh my gosh, just huge.
You know, and I want to mention while you're doing that, you put your cell phone away. You're not checking your emails because that's probably going to stress you out, right?
Yeah,
so when you say unplug, we mean unplug.
Yeah, no laptop, no cell phone. You know, like if you're super, super control freak, you might want to say, oh, hi, it's Jennifer. I'm having an unplug day. Isn't that so fun that I recommend you and I'm doing it myself. I will see you first thing tomorrow. Leave a message. Love you. Bye.
Yeah. You know, and very rarely is something catastrophic that you have to deal with right away. You know, and so, yeah, putting it off for that day, it's perfectly fine. You know, I tell people, we haven't had cell phones and this immediate accessibility for very long, you know, in the grand scheme of things, and the world didn't stop. You know, if I don't check Facebook for a day, the world goes on. I mean, you know, it's amazing how that happens.
It's funny. I was 30 years old before I had my own cell phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I never touched a computer. I mean, touched a computer until I was a senior in high school. And, you know, certainly never owned one or had one until I was in college and, all these various things. And I was trying to think. So I got my first cell phone, probably 25 years ago. So I won't tell, you know, so probably around the same age. But yeah, I mean, and we did, we survived perfectly fine without them. And in a lot of ways, I think, you know, it would be a benefit, not to the cell phone providers, but to us, if we had to go back to paying by the minute, because I bet you we'd use them a heck of a lot less.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Like you think about the conditioning, I use my cell phone way less than my children use them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even my sister who's halfway in between me and my kids sort of, well, not halfway, she's 10 years younger mm-hmm. and she uses her cell phone incrementally more than I do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, you look at the conditioning. I remember mm-hmm. my mom saying one time to me, she was in business as well, you know, cell phones are actually for your convenience, not right. for the convenience of the people calling you. So mm-hmm. if it's not convenient for you to answer, then don't.
Right. Yeah. You know, thank heavens for caller ID, you know, and all of those various things. But, you know, yeah, they don't need to be attached to us. It's funny here in Georgia, they recently passed a law that is hands-free. So when you are driving a vehicle, you are not to be touching your phone, period. You know, if you're using it for navigation, you were supposed to have, you know, gotten that before you move, you know, all these, but yeah, you know, and so it's, I did this post on Facebook and, you know, and the funny thing was, it was obviously very tongue in cheek, but I said, you know, the law has been in effect now for 3 days and I've made my first big trip and, you know, I deliberately put my cell phone somewhere. Well, actually I started by saying, hi, I'm Deb and I'm addicted to my cell phone. You know, like, yeah, you know, we went to one of those other addiction things. And I said, you know, but I'm getting through this. You know, I put my phone where I couldn't reach it. And that literally was true. I mean, I put it where I couldn't reach it. And I said, but my eyes twitched and my fingers tingled. And I just knew the world was going to end if I didn't check. And, you know, and of course, everybody commented, they thought it was really funny, but I don't know. There were two people who took it very seriously and, you know, and were, you know, they were very concerned about me. And I'm like, oh no, yeah. But yeah. You know, we do, we think, well, we have to have it, you know, by our bedside. We have to be touching it, you know? And I tell people, I say, it's, you know, the law's been in effect now for a while at a stoplight, you know, as a long stoplight, you know, cause we all know it, you want to check. Well, wait, it chirped. Oh, why was it chirping?
Yes. And yeah, it's interesting. It's been a law in Canada for a long time. Mm-hmm. Right. And I still see people on their cell phones.
I know. You know, and it's going to happen. But, you know, it is those things where, yeah, we don't need it. And that's one of those stresses that we can remove. And, you know, and I envy the people because, you know, I still haven't gotten myself to the point of, you know, the people that only check their email morning and like, you know, like 9 o'clock, noon, and 3. And that's the only time they check their email. You know, I don't know if I could do that, but it would drive me nuts. You know, but I do have it to where it doesn't notify me if I have new email messages. Mm. So then, you know, if I'm in the flow of doing something, it's not going, hello, I'm here.
I love that. And, you know, like we were talking about earlier, these standard operating procedures for your mm-hmm. life, mm-hmm. like where do you give yourself permission to disconnect right. from your mm-hmm. phone, to disconnect from, you know, your clients, you mm-hmm. know? We're not actually here to be servants to other people. Right. We're here to have an experience mm-hmm. and have yeah. a life.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. That is actually something that I explain to my clients because they, you know, they will say, well, you home office, therefore you must be available all the time. And I say, no, not so much. I keep standard office hours for the most part. Now, am I still checking emails at 10 o'clock at night? Sure. You know, or on a weekend. But I tell my clients, you know, I'm typically not going to respond to you evenings, weekends, and holidays. If it's an emergency, yes, but it will probably cost you more. You know, and so then they figure out, oh, okay, I can wait till the next morning. But when I set that expectation to them, then it just works out perfect. Now, they might go ahead and send the email, but they know that I'm not going to respond until the next morning. And that is hard for people who home office, because people assume, well, you are available 24/7. And then they assume the other side also. Well, since you're home, we can just call and chat, or why don't you go to a movie with me? And it's like, no, I'm working. And so it is about setting those boundaries and those expectations.
It is. And what works for you? Like, back to our conversation about, like, who's your ideal client, mm-hmm. you know, and how do you set up expectations right. for them that, you know, they know that they're going to get it, you know, super quality service from you, but they're mm-hmm. not getting it 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and you do have to adapt. You know, time zones obviously are one of the things. It was funny when I moved here to Atlanta. It's been 7 years ago. I had a client who was in California. So 3-hour time difference. And they would email me at 4:30 their time, you know, PM. And so that's 7:30 at night here. And then they got real testy when I wouldn't respond. And so I finally responded and I said, okay, tell you what. You don't expect me to respond at 7:30 PM and I won't expect you to respond at 5 AM. Because it works the other way around too. And they went, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, and this is it. You know, I mean, so many of my clients are entrepreneurs and, mm-hmm. you know, setting up how you would love to have your business, mm-hmm. You know, is so key. It's right. like, because your clients will be your clients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if you set it up that you have office hours, or you set it up, oh, well, I work until 8 o'clock on these days to set up for, mm-hmm. you know, time differentials, and just show them how to do business mm-hmm. with you.
Right. You know, and as you were talking about, you know, some of the products and services that you provide, if it's something that, you know, can be mass consumed, you know, so not personalized is maybe the way to do it. So, you know, maybe it's like you said, a video series where they can just watch. It, you know, that's a great thing, and you can price it one way. But if you have to personalize things, then you have to price it differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, that becomes a VIP offering.
Yes. Yep. And then you want to make them know that and feel as special as they are. Mm-hmm. Well, holy cow, Jennifer, we've only got just a couple minutes left. So tell people how they find you and connect with you, and then a little bit about the services that you provide.
Yeah, I would love to. So I have one more gift for you guys. Okay. I'm going to be launching a podcast, and I've noticed that a lot of my clients get kind of caught up in, you know, what do I need to do today to be more productive?
Okay.
You know, they like spinning their wheels. And so I have a gift. If you pop over to podcastgoodies.jennifercramerlewis.com. So that's podcast, PODCAST, goodies, GOODIES, mm-hmm. at Jennifer or dot jennifercramerlewis.com. There's a beautiful download that my graphic artist made with some questions that I regularly ask myself to make sure that I'm on point and on task with the things that I need to be doing every day in my business.
Perfect.
And so you can actually print that out every day if you want.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and you can find me on Facebook at Jennifer Kramer Lewis, LEWIS, Kramer with a C. Jennifer spelt the normal way. And I have a bunch of different offerings on the internet. So actually, if you just go onto Google and look for Jennifer Kramer Lewis, there's a bunch of cool videos Perfect. On all sorts of awesome topics for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm.
And you do have specific training programs, right, where you work with people?
I do. And if you go to classes.jennifercramerlewis.com, mm-hmm. you can find out what I'll be doing next. The next video series that I'm doing is called The Elegance of Receiving from the Earth. And so including the earth in your business, including the earth in receiving, and mm-hmm. all of us are not really all that good at receiving. And receiving isn't necessarily money. It's also information and right. all sorts of things.
And help. You know, that sometimes that's one of the hardest things for people to accept is help.
Exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
Well, Jennifer, this has been absolutely fantastic. Is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I would love for your listeners to ask themselves some questions about how would you like to ideally be doing business? And what would it be like for you to create a business that just lights up every area of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, and write a list.
Make that list and tell us about it. You know, Jennifer has told you how to reach her. If you're, you know, putting this in, you know, tell us in the Facebook posts, you know, those various things. Let us know those things.
Yeah, I would love to hear from you. I'm super excited about you creating businesses that work for you, that are more profitable. And if I can assist you with that, absolutely send me a message.
Perfect. I love it. Well, I am Deb Creer. I've been having a fantastic time talking with Jennifer Kramer Lewis. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us next time for more real life stories and techniques to power up your business.
You've been listening to C-Suite Radio. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.